fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
You're listening to The Other Side of the News. I'm Bob Petrakis, and I'm here with Dan Dugan.
Hey, I'm still the other guy on the other side. And we're on WGRN and WCRS. And, hey, last week, I think one of the last things we had a minute to talk about was the Mueller report. And I said, Bob, gee, don't you think Mueller will do the right thing and put it out on a Monday? And you assured me, no, it'll be put out on a Friday evening. And had I been reminded that it was the NCAA basketball tournament attracting the attention of most of the country, I probably would have agreed with you. The Republicans are playing the same old games.
Well, it's a way to bury big news and diffuse it and, of course, to spin it by Monday.
Yes, exactly. Well, in this case, they just sat on it. Big Bill Barr sat on it, right?
He did indeed.
Still sitting on it, yes? No.
And again, the Trump himself and his sycophants are going to argue that it completely exonerates him, but the strangest thing of all, really the weirdest part, is he's on tape admitting that he fired the FBI director,
right,
Comey,
right,
for looking into it.
Right.
And that it was upsetting him.
Sure.
He got Comey on the record that, right, you know, he tried to get me to drop it. And then you got Trump saying the Russian investigation pissed me off, so that's why I had to get rid of him. So the president is admitting, you know,
and the report,
he was out to obstruct justice.
The report used the word he's not exonerated from obstruction of justice charges. And then, of course, in the short briefing that he was given, you know, maybe 30 seconds for all 300 pages, right? Mm-hmm. He came out with, well, it exonerated me. He maybe heard that word, so he repeated it, in spite of the fact that it was used in the complete opposite way. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, he's got a long habit of, you know, not adhering to the facts or twisting them or taking them
or
lying. Inventing his own.
That's right.
Being counterfactual.
Yeah, yeah. He does have an imagination, doesn't he? He's got quite.
Indeed.
Well, and the thing is, Barr, who seemed to me to be a plant from the beginning, and who had indicated that he thought the report was a flawed idea, right? Yeah. But he's an old-school Republican, and so is Mueller. And so, you know, they quietly pulled it out, sat on it for a while, as you said, spin it. Trump spins it in his own crazy way. But did you get much of anything out of it from what you've heard that, you know, might
be a revelation?
Well, no,
this is the problem is no one really knows what's in it. But we do know there's a variety of U.S. district courts, a couple in New York and one in Virginia.
Well, yeah.
That are looking into allegations.
Yeah, 17 more cases to go. Right. Yeah, there you go. But even though Trump has said that the Mueller report should be looked at, be allowed to be looked at by everyone, they're sitting on it. Can you explain that to me? You're the attorney here.
Well, you want it to go slow. You want to be able to spin it. You want it to leave the public consciousness. You know, they've got the spin out there that the president's exonerated, that it's a complete victory. They want it all to die down. You've got, of course, Representative Adam Schiff, right, and dealing with the oversight role in the U.S. Congress with his committee, who had a tremendous statement, went through the whole list, as saying, you Republicans, you may think it's okay that the president's son was contacted by people that work for the Russian government.
And
you thought it was groovy that WikiLeaks would be hacking the DNC or Hillary Clinton's email. You thought it was a great idea. Mm-hmm. But those things are really unacceptable in American politics. You took a meeting,
and of
really,
course, the Republicans
the
are
Trump
saying
campaign.
Schiff should step down too.
Their attack. Well, you need to step down.
Yeah.
But you know, you've got a variety of things. They spun a whole story about how the meeting was about adoption. It's like, the president's son is there to talk. The issue of adoption.
He was interested in adopting some Russian children. I don't know.
Well, adopting criminal tactics, it looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was talking about adopting something, adopting a hacking lifestyle or supporting it.
And there was also some discussion about him not being aware. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse, so they say, but...
At a certain point, it'd be very
interesting. But Trump seemed to excel in ignorance.
But most of the, you know, the reports that have been in the news so far is that, Donnie Jr. was upset because there wasn't enough dirt. I mean, he was sort of disappointed that there, you know, wasn't stuff to be handed over. But the Russians were, handing over polls, whatever they could do to help Trump win the election. And we also know Trump was, talking about, getting a hotel there in Moscow. So who runs for office and, goes to an enemy of their own country and is negotiating business deals while on the campaign trail?
Yeah, there you go. But obviously this is going to go on in other directions. The no collusion, oddly enough, seems to hold up, but the obstruction of justice, that looks more glaring.
Well, they may not have been able to prove collusion because it was obstructed. There was people, destroying evidence, not turning over, not being forthcoming. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these are early conviction, were lying to the FBI, lying before Congress, but really lying to law enforcement agencies.
You know, the thing that I keep hearing so much about Watergate and the Clinton impeachment, but no one seems or few people seem to bring up or remember Ronnie Reagan sitting in front of the Iran-Contra hearings and just saying, well, I can't remember. I don't know. And, ignorance, again, is what Trump seems to excel in. And so, hey.
Well, no, and
they called Reagan the Teflon president.
Really,
got
ignorance
nothing on
of
this
the fact. I mean, Trump has been on the attack. I mean, and even advocating authoritarian tactics, calling upon the army and the police and bikers to come to his defense if he's removed president.
All that, right?
I'd really like,
or that it was a witch hunt, but
organized criminals. In the motorcycle gangs to come to my defense. Take a little time off from cooking meth and trafficking women and
maybe
come over and help me out against these liberals.
He might also have been trying to reach the crowd that gathered for their gun rights on afternoon at the State House in Columbus.
Okay, so on Thursday,
there was at least
10
guys there.
An eyewitness?
I was an eyewitness.
Were you packing a little heat?
A camera. That was the heat I was packing. Most of the people that were there for gun rights did have their weapons. They also fenced off a space that kept out your friend Jerry Bello, and some other leftists who had a bullhorn and were yelling as many ridiculous things as they could.
Assaulting!
But the speeches went on.
Trump supporters with a bullhorn.
Oddly enough, they didn't mention Trump that I heard, but I wonder if that's
were they standing
the
their ground?
They were standing. Yes, they really were. That they were.
And
but
did
the
you
one
notice
guy
what
kept
kind
saying
of weapons?
These guys. The one guy kept saying these guys behind us, and there were about five guys standing behind him, and he was talking about how ignorant they were and how they were taking guns away, and I was like, oh, the guy standing behind. I think he was talking about the guys in the legislature, but to me, it seemed like he was talking about his friends behind him. So, Maybe I was confused. It was a very interesting gathering, but like I'm saying, I think that's the ilk that Trump wants to, or said he might need, and that would perhaps be violent when the Mueller report came out. But of course, it was party down at Mar-a-Lago, right?
If it didn't go the way he wanted it to, he had called on the military, the police, the bikers.
Yes, the bikers and the truckers. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's quite a force, I tell you. So,
were you scared at all? You know,
today?
When they were down there with weapons? Or
no, not really. I wasn't scared that people had rifles. I've seen rifles before. And quite frankly, the guys there, the gun people, they seem to be going out of their way to tell their buddies to stay calm and not to go after the leftists who, you know, to me weren't making a whole lot of sense either. You know, it was just sort of some yelling between two sides, and the fences went up, and there was a gate, and they were actually barring people from coming inside their little playground. I was already in there.
Which they had a permit for.
And I don't know if they just assumed I was a media guy or something.
They took a look at you and said, he's from NERC. He's one of us.
He's wearing a flannel shirt. He's got a little mustache. Anyway, I shaved off. I didn't want to.
But I'm afraid the necklace might have given you away.
I was a little worried about the blue necklace. Yes, the blue Mardi Gras beads. I was a little concerned that might do it. But nonetheless.
And what about the shirt that said Free Press on it?
I talked to a I wasn't wearing that.
Okay, good thinking.
So,
it's hard
fact,
to go.
I just put this on to be cooler than the black shirt I had on. Is this all right, though?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But I'm thinking that it might have been a tell. Mm-hmm. It might have been a sign like.
Well, nonetheless, I took some pictures and I observed. So, and we can talk more about that maybe in the new Free Press that'll be coming out soon. In the meantime, maybe we should talk about what radio station we're on and what this show is.
Well, it is WGRN 94.1, The Green Renaissance, also playing at WCRS 92.7 and 98.3.
There you go.
The People's Radio.
And here we are talking about the people.
And we're the people.
And by the way, I also heard on the People's Station, WGRN, the other night about the Amber Evans, the activist whose mm-hmm. body was found.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that some people still think it might possibly have been foul play, but others suspect maybe suicide. I mean, more will be revealed,
I'm not trying to speculate,
right, but I heard others.
There were a lot of
that,
facts so. That came out.
Uh-huh.
Number one, we now know she left a link to Google Docs and essentially left what is the equivalent of a suicide note.
Oh, okay.
And so that was done. She actually, you know, sent a Google Docs that could be accessed by her family and her boyfriend. And we know that also she broke up with her boyfriend. In many cases, the father.
Who, by the way, is a real sweet fella.
That's what everyone's saying.
My friend
saying.
Mike Duty wanted to make sure that was heard too. So.
Yeah, no, and not only that, that's what the father of Amber Evans said. And mm-hmm. I guess he's been fried somewhat on social media.
Yeah, well, that people will play judge and jury real fast. That's what I was saying.
Right.
You know, I don't want to speculate about
so
it.
So we give our condolences to the family.
Absolutely.
And to her boyfriend. And
she did a lot of good work.
We, share in the sadness and celebrate what she accomplished in
there
her life, which was much.
All right. Well, at any rate, at least part of that mystery has been put aside. There are other mysteries in the world. Hey, one of which is Brexit. By the way, Bob.
Confederate gold and no, that's the history.
By
channel.
The way, Brexit appears to have been taken back over by the Parliament. Is that how that came out? How do you read this Brexit situation?
I think it's got something to do with Oak Island.
Well,
really?
No, tell. No, go right ahead. Tell us all about. I want to know more about.
Brexit. I think Theresa May should be exiled to Oak Island.
She sort of gave
up.
Right.
Well, because she was making this speech in Parliament, it's like, you know, if you don't back me, I may have to step down. I think there was one person.
May have to. Yeah.
One person who came
to
her defense.
But doesn't do it.
If you don't bet, this is your absolutely last seventh chance.
Yeah, I know. It just keeps going on.
And unless you back me, this could force me out of politics. And they're all like, right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's the problem here?
What's the holdup? Right?
Later. Later, PM.
Don't block the door on your way
MP,
out.
MP,
right?
PM.
Well, I just definitely wanted to discuss Brexit again because we get so far on that topic. In the meantime, we could discuss gerrymandering, which apparently is now being heard in the Supreme Court of the United States. Two states, Maryland and North Carolina.
We talked a little about this before the show. The state universally thought to be the absolute worst in terms of gerrymandered congressional district, Ohio.
Ohio, yes.
O-H.
Uh-huh.
I-O.
Some would say we're the best or worst at that.
Well, again, we're a battleground state, usually split evenly.
Right.
In this case, between unaffiliated but Dems and Republicans with the same amount of registered voters.
Ohio and North Carolina are rather similar. They're both swing states that get painted red. Right?
But here's the key thing about Ohio. Well, you know, there's a reason for that. I think we've talked about it. I think really it's the Democrats in this state. The Democrats in the state have to come up with this tactic. Five of them lost statewide office. You know, it's like state auditor, Republican,
right.
Secretary of State, Republican, right? The attorney general, Republican,
have to do with
state treasurer. Well, no, what it's got to do with is the fact, gerrymandering in the sense that the Republicans control the apportionment board, and they came up with this really unfair thing because the Democrats keep losing and never control the board. And this is why, because they run to the center and then head slightly to the right and say, hi, the Republicans are right-wingers. But everyone looks at them and goes, but there's really not much different. You know, you're Republicans light. Why would we want to vote for a Republican light with less taste, less filling, when we can really vote for Republicans, right? So in Ohio, the statewide Democrat candidates.
Do you think that's what goes on in North Carolina?
No, I think they actually got some politics in North Carolina. But in Ohio, the notion of most Democrats is to run to the center right and go, hi, we're sort of like Republicans, but we're not quite as bad.
Again, do you think that's what Democrats do in North Carolina?
No, I think they have a fairly robust, debate in North Carolina. There's the progressive Democrats. The most progressive Democrat elected in Ohio is probably Sherrod Brown, right? He ran as an out-and-out progressive, pro-union, pro-consumers, and he wins by 8 point. The other ones kind of go, I'm Rich Cordray. I'm sort of like Mike DeWine, and I backed the gun lobby, and I did a bunch of other right-wing stuff, but I'm not quite as mean. And that doesn't pull votes, right? It really doesn't. But the most progressive guy, and now there's talk that the future of the Republican Party in Ohio could be the most powerful mayor, Andy Ginther, running unopposed. Again, Andy Ginther's major accomplishment was not getting indicted when in his first term, right? I mean, he spends most of his time giving out massive tax abatements to multimillionaires and a billionaire, Les Wexner. And somehow, is that really the politics of the future? And then some of the people that tried to challenge him in the power, the party, the Yes We Can people, I mean, they tend to pretend like we're not really activists. We're just loyal Democrats who would be good if you voted for us. It's like, be activists. Give me a little AOC. Give me a little, Casio Cortez. Give me some plain talking. Don't give me, hi, we're just nicer. I mean, they're running like
the Dems. Well, I saw Elizabeth Warren on TV last week actually take on the Electoral College. But apparently she doesn't have enough charisma for the Democrats or the leftists. I'm not sure about that.
And you've also got Trump attacking her as, quote, Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Even though she did show up in her DNA report with, you know, some Native American blood.
So the other state in the gerrymandering case, on the topic of which we were trying to discuss, was Maryland, which was gerrymandering by the Democratic Party, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right on that?
So, yeah, it's usually to the winner. It's a spoil system. To the winner goes the spoils.
Right.
And in Ohio, the since the Republicans tend to always win the statewide offices because of the Dems that run as Republican light, look, the state should be 8-8. There's 16 congressmen. It's a battleground state. It should be split down the window. 8-8, maybe 9-7. But what is the count? 12. So you got a state split 50-50, and you got 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats. You got 2 districts that are dense packed. What they did is kind of shoehorned all the black population in a district in Cleveland and one in Columbus. So that way it allows them to add all these Republican districts.
Well, in North Carolina, the Republicans split a black college right down the middle.
Well, what we do is pack.
But what,
they do, that's called cracking.
But what did Democrats do in Maryland to get in front of the Supreme Court? Robert? Dr. Bob?
Well, usually they don't do anything to turn themselves in. Usually it's the state or some party withstanding who feels their votes aren't being counted because the districts are – these single-member districts are rigged and your vote is worthless because everyone knows well ahead of time who's going to win the election, right? We've got 435 congressional seats. About 10% of them are competitive. It means 90% of our congressional seats – everyone knows what party or person is going to win today, you know, barring
in the United States.
Yes. Or, yeah. We've got the least. And this is why we're the greatest democracy,
right,
Mr. Dugan, because we have the least competitive legislative.
We have the First Amendment, right?
Well, occasionally we have the First Amendment.
Kind of a joke.
But no,
we are talking about it.
90%
anyway.
Of our congressional seats are non-competitive. As compared to, say, England, where, you know, it's virtually 100%. And again, many of the other parliaments, including Japan, where we wrote the Constitution after World War II, in Japan, they have some single-member districts, but they also have a nationwide election in which parties get votes proportionate. So if the Socialist Party of Japan gets 5% of the vote, they're going to get 5% of the parliament. Under our system, Ross Perot, for God's sakes, gets 19% of the vote, and his Reform Party gets zero congressional seats. Had he been in a parliamentary system, he would have gotten 80 votes.
So you're calling for an overhaul of the whole system? Get rid of the Electoral College, but.
Well, you know, we can do that, and there's other ways. You can have proportional representation.
When are we going to? That's my
question. Since it requires a constitutional amendment and the country split down the middle, not in the near future.
Aha, uh-huh. I see. So we shall wait in the future to have fair elections, particularly for the highest office in the land? I guess.
Well, it's been.
That's what it looks like to me, too. So.
It's been undemocratic.
You're getting no younger, brother.
It's been undemocratic since 1789 when it was adopted. Mm-hmm. And it remains undemocratic, right? The small states benefit disproportionately because, you know, a place like Montana, 500,000 people.
Right.
You know,
one of them is worth 10,000
electoral seats based on their senators.
Right.
And California, where you got 30-40 million people, gets 2.
Right.
So our per capita electoral college, it's not one person, one vote. They're worth a lot more in the small Republican red states like Alaska and Montana and North Dakota.
Right. Well, they wanted to have those poor people be represented.
Well, they can't be represented. They should be represented at the same rate as everyone else.
Yeah,
it's like, hi, virtually no one lives in the state, so we should get a higher per capita electoral college vote. Why? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't all the electoral college votes be based on the population of a state. Yeah, not the fact that you got a couple senators. Mm-hmm. You know, really, does Alaska deserve?
I'm with you.
To have as many, you know,
I just more again, I'm not hearing very many votes. Candidates for anything try to take it on. I did hear Elizabeth Warren go that route. So, in spite of the fact that she thought she was Native American, I think she's an interesting Native American candidate. But there's a lot of candidates out there,
know,
and most
probably,
of them
less than,
have more charisma.
She hinted at. So right. There is some Native American blood. It's just probably doesn't meet the threshold. Some states, you know, are you know 1/8 or 1/4 or 1/16th. For God's sake, Mississippi up until the 1980s, if you were 1/64th of any other race, you had to register that race. So if you know, if say on your mother's side, your great 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 grandmother was another race, and 63 of your 64 other descendants. After that, from, you know, the three great-great-great-great-great-great-great-greats and on down to the
my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather shined the shoes of Queen Elizabeth. Or so my grandfather told me, but he was full of blarney, so. And I don't even know what that meant. I do know, though, that in the aftermath of the Mueller report and the victory lap being taken, health care is once again on the chopping block, although in Ohio, a Republican has stood up for the status quo, the Obamacare, right? Just wanted to touch base on that before we slide down into the oblivion of no radio show as opposed to radio show, which we're involved in right now. So,
So radio show.
There you
show
go. But
versus...
the other thing I wanted to bring up, though, and we only have a little bit of time left, was a note that I found outside.
Okay.
It says, "You are so loved. Even if you do bad things sometimes or you feel like you get in trouble a lot, just remember you're loved so much by God and he'll help you and forgive you always. Just ask him." And that says, "Loved by Lindsay." Is there a Lindsay that you know that might have written a note?
Well, it sounded like either Mr. Rogers or Lindsey Graham.
And do you think maybe he might have been writing this to – I just found this note. It just sort of floated down out of heaven or something.
The amazing thing about Lindsey Graham is
– he might have been talking to Trump. What do you think?
Trump insulted the hell out of him.
Yeah.
I mean –
selling McCain as well.
They got some S&M relationship going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the more Trump insulted him in the primary – called him names, you know, implied he wasn't
McCain
a vigorous.
Like crazy. The man's dead, and he says, and now he's going to take on Barbara Bush. So
although
soon,
we suspect
sure.
with McCain, it's because McCain's been accused of perhaps releasing the Steele report, saying that Trump was fond of golden showers.
Really? Well, dude, I guess we'll just leave it on that lovely thought as we wrap up the other side of the news here on WGRN. Keep grinning with the greens, folks.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.